The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS. Also streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here alongside my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley. Dan Kilbridge will be with us at 10:30 from SpartanTailgate.com as we start getting back into Illinois and Michigan State. However, right now we want to talk a little bit more Tigers. We're joined by Kirk Crawford from the Detroit Free Press. Kirk, how you doing?
How's it going, Dave? You all right?
Good, good. Now, I actually have a really funny story here because, you know, Kirk is actually who got me into radio at Central Michigan. I know he doesn't remember me because I was like a sophomore when he was a senior. But, Kirk, see if you can remember this. I was the dude, okay, I ran the board during softball games at CMU.
Okay.
And do you remember doing a CMU versus Michigan doubleheader where one of the games went 16 innings?
Yes. Yes, I do. Incredibly funny story there. I actually was originally not scheduled to do that doubleheader there in Ann Arbor, but we were covering that game there at CMU because Michigan at the time was defending the national champions in softball, and the previous season, the year that Michigan won the national championship in softball, CMU had actually defeated University of Michigan in one of the two games they played the previous year. So we decided to cover the game there in Ann Arbor, the two games in Ann Arbor, and I was there with a good friend of mine, Mike Foster, who now works out in Iowa. Yes, the first game was what moved okay, and the second game just took forever.
Yes, I remember that because I was hungry, I was thirsty, and I couldn't get off the board, and it was very, very frustrating.
Well, there were several things happening with us there at the stadium as well, including a homework assignment that I really, really needed to get done that did not get done until the wee hours of the morning. So
yeah,
I want to thank Margo Yonker and the softball team there for that.
Yeah, good excuse for a teacher. I was at a softball game, and it went 16 innings. All right, Kirk, let's get into what's going on right now with the Detroit Tigers. You wrote the story about Gary Sheffield retiring. I have to ask you, is he retiring because nobody wants him, or is he retiring because it's time to call it quits?
I think conveniently one fits into the hand of the other. You know, Gary Sheffield's been around for two decades, and you know, the shoulder injuries that have obviously occurred here in Detroit have begun to pile up for him. And in this day and age, teams are going with cheaper, younger players, and that sort of pushes out guys who are knocking on 40's door, and that's what Gary is doing. So I think the fact that he is of that age has forced the fact that, you know, not a lot of teams have probably knocked on his door. There are plenty of players right now without jobs who are younger and can maybe help teams a little bit better, guys like Nick Johnson, Willie Ibar, Jermaine Dye, who is still interested in playing, even though he missed all of last season, not by choice necessarily, but it's time for Gary, and, you know, no one really is calling and blowing up his cell phone either, so.
We're talking to Kirkland Crawford from the Detroit Free Press. Now, Kirk, it's Scott here. Now that Gary Sheffield's career is over, how is he going to be viewed looking back?
Well, the guy played in so many places, I think it sort of depends on which fan base that you ask. If you talk to the folks in Miami, if they remember the fact that they won the World Series in 1927, I think he'll be remembered lovingly. As probably the best player on a World Series championship team. If you ask folks in New York or in Atlanta or, you know, San Diego, maybe not as well. And if you talk to folks here in Detroit, you'll remember a lot of the almost empty promises given when the Tigers traded for Sheffield in the winter of 3 years ago or so. People believe that this was the hitter that would put the Tigers over the top, and that obviously did not happen with the shoulder injury he incurred and the subsequent injuries and issues. But for the time that Sheffield did play in the Old English D, he was productive. But the thing that hangs over Sheffield's career are the performance-enhancing issues, the cream and the clear, and his name popping up in the Mitchell Report. And unfortunately, that's as much a part of his legacy as the 500 or so home runs he hit throughout his 2 decades in Major League Baseball.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Kirk, because I actually was going to ask you about that, and considering that along with his statistics and, in my opinion, the fact that he was one of the top 10 or 15 baseball players for a time, is he a Hall of Famer, considering all that?
It's a tricky question. I personally have a much higher standard for a Hall of Fame player than maybe other people do. So maybe on the surface, I would say no, only because I just don't think Gary was one of the great players of his era. When you sprinkle in the question marks surrounding his career and surrounding the entire era, really, it's going to be very difficult for him to get in, I believe. If you look at what's happened with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and Rafael Palmeiro, and considering the fact that, you know, basically you need to have been a nicer guy than what Gary has been in his career to really get sympathy votes from the media. And because Gary was more of a free spirit, that's normally not rewarded by Hall of Fame voters. Just ask people like Jack Morris. So it's a very uphill battle for Gary to get into baseball's Hall of Fame. I think eventually he may, but I'm thinking maybe Veterans Committee 50 years down the road.
We're talking to Kirk Crawford from the Detroit Free Press here on the Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, talking about a Tiger slugger who had some question marks in his career. I want to flip it a little more current with the story. Miguel Cabrera, a couple problems he's run into. What's your take? How big of an effect on the team will this be?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys saw the comments yesterday from Jim Leland saying that this wouldn't be a distraction, but the fact of the matter is that Jim was really just trying to cover up more or less the idea of saying it's not going to be a distraction. As you may have seen earlier today, Dave Dombrowski came out and said that Cabrera was not expected to be in camp for the next couple of days, and then a doctor will more or less need to clear him or prescribe Cabrera some level of treatment for his latest relapse or outburst or however you're going to term it. If this was any other player on the team, this would not be a big deal, but because this is the best player, not just on that team, but arguably in the entire state of Michigan when it comes to professional sports, it's a big deal. And it's not just a distraction that's going to hang over the team's head this season, but it's something that's going to be in the back of the minds of Tigers fans for the duration of Cabrera's career. It's a huge, huge deal.
When we talk about distractions, are we thinking that this is going to be more along the lines of a distraction lingering in the clubhouse, or is this a distraction that will only go as far as how the media takes it?
Good point. I don't know how far what turn the media, not just here but across the country, will take this. I mean, this was a lead story on Thursday and Friday on every major sports media outlet in the country, really. And until there's some level of treatment or until Cabrera answers questions about that night and about his status and about his life, it's going to still be a big deal. I think the team has a better idea, at least his teammates have a better idea of Cabrera's condition than we do in the media. So I never really normally buy the idea of it's a distraction for the team, but will Cabrera hear about this when he goes on the road? Certainly. And like I said, will he have a mixed reaction when his name is announced at some point at Comerica Park this season? Definitely. And will that affect Cabrera? That I'm not sure about. But it'll be something that just won't go away and be swept under the rug in the minds of Tigers fans, not just this season, but for the rest of Cabrera's career.
That's something we've been trying to figure out, is exactly how does it get through to him, and what kind of punishment would possibly come down towards him?
Well, that's a good point, and that sort of depends upon whether or how the Tigers are looking at this. If this is a relapse in Cabrera's alcoholism and his disease, that I don't think punishment is appropriate, but it's more treatment that's appropriate, in which case you may be looking at an extended stay in some rehab facility, which would take him away from the team. If this isn't a relapse in a disease, and I mean, look, I don't profess to know exactly what Cabrera's status is, whether this, you know, is a relapse in a disease or just a relapse in judgment. If it's a relapse in judgment, I would imagine the Tigers would do something. Mike Ilitch, the owner of the team, was the owner of the Red Wings during Bob Probert's career. In Detroit, and similar things were occurring. Both Probert had similar demons, or so it would seem, that Cabrera has. And, you know, he wasn't necessarily suspended a bunch, but when it was time to cut bait with Probert, the Red Wings did in the early 1990s. Now, the Tigers are going to be letting go. They're not going to be releasing Cabrera because, again, he's the most important player on the team. He's the highest paid player on the team. They need him to win, but they need him to be healthy physically, mentally, and emotionally before they even think about winning. And if that's the case, punishment's in order, but treatment certainly is.
Kirkland Crawford, Detroit Free Press. Kirkland, before we let you go, we talked to Dan Dickerson earlier today. He seems to think about 88 wins is a good forecast for this team without seeing spring training and knowing that there's going to be injuries probably somewhere along the way. What's your gut feeling on where this team ends up this year?
The gut feeling is that they're not the best team in the Central. Obviously, they made improvements by getting Victor Martinez over the winter. But I still have question marks about their defense, question marks about the back end of the pitching rotation. And I don't think they've done enough to surpass maybe what the White Sox have done the last two seasons. Because, I mean, you think about what they've done with Jake Peavy and now signing Adam Dunn. They seem to be the most complete team in the American League Central, at least to me. And you can't overlook the fact that the Twins continue to find ways to plug holes where they lose people. I mean, they lost three or four guys in their bullpen. And their farm system just continues to replenish and find replacements for those players, something the Tigers necessarily have not done. I think there are just too many question marks surrounding the Tigers. 88 wins may be the case. I'm not sure that it's going to be enough to win the American League Central for the Tigers this season.
Kirkland Crawford, Detroit Free Press. Kirk, good stuff, man. Thanks. You appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Anytime, though.
All right, man. Kirkland Crawford, Detroit Free Press. When we come back, we'll start talking Big Ten, Illinois, Michigan State again today. I'm telling you, I'm looking at the crowd right now. Not impressed with what we were talking about early on. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.